Today's lesson is brought from, taken out of John chapter 5, and this is, I'm sort of out of order. We talked about Jesus when he, feeding the 5,000, and he walked on water, and then he went to the place where he met the Syrophoenician woman, and he comes back and feeds 4,000. We saw the bookends, how that story was starting with Jesus going to the Jews, and then them rejecting him, and him going to the Gentiles. But this story kind of backs it up a little bit. This is before he goes and he feeds the 5,000, but he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's a good Jewish man, even though he lives several hundred miles away from Jerusalem in this little town of Nazareth. He still goes down there three times a year at least to celebrate the festivals that the Jews celebrate, Passover and the Feast of the Tabernacles and Pentecost. So he's on his way there, and here we are. We start at John chapter 5, and you've probably heard this story before, but that's okay. I don't remember the last time I saw it, and when I opened the Bible, I was like, ooh, it's a good one. We're going to do this one. It's been a while. Verse 1, chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, the House of Mercy, which is surrounded by five colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked them. All right, here's where we have the argument. Right, Bible nerds? People tell me, and I watch way too much internet, if you study from the NIV, the New International Version, you're not much of a preacher. I love it. Jim Jones gave my wife one. Tom Connelly's mother gave me a copy. My mom gave me a copy. I like the NIV. They say you shouldn't read it. You should read the King James Version. I give away the King James Version to my friends, right? And they like it, and we like both of them. And so you can compare. So here's the problem. So they say you're a lousy preacher if you use the NIV. Well, sorry, that's what I use. Did you notice something missing there? First verse. Now, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Verse 2. Now they're in Jerusalem near the sheep gates of pool. Verse 3. Here's a great number of people met there. They were blind, lame, and paralyzed. Verse 5. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. We got a problem, don't we? What is it? What happened to verse 4? We just took it out. What does it say in Revelation if we start to change the Bible, we'll take things out and put them back in? Well, then you're darned. You're damned to hell, aren't you? You see, I once had a friend at church, at Jane's, the old days. I sometimes talk about Jane's, as you all know. And remember when those new coins came out, the gold coins with the states on them? Or the president, something like that. Remember those gold dollars? Gold dollars. Anyone remember those? They're hardly in circulation. They're not real gold. They were just colored gold. Had Sacagawea on it and all that stuff. She says, don't take this money. Don't spend the new dollars. Because In God We Trust is not on it. She was so... We've given up on God, right? Well, it was written on the edge. She lost her mind. She didn't even look. I said, give them all to me. I'll take them. They'll be all right. They're still spendable. Now, with her, we are who we are. We don't want gold $1, right? You go to England or you go to the UK, there are no dollar bills, right, Paula? It's always the £1 coin, right? Right? You've been there. I'm going next year. Did I tell you? We made a decision. We missed too much. You can't see Scotland in two. It's too big. We got to go back. We wanted to go to the Shetlands, but it's a 12-hour ferry ride. I'm like, whew, that's pretty far. It's like near Norway, so we're not going to go there. We'll tighten it up. Sorry, but that's a sidebar. Anybody want to go? Paul, you want to go again? All right. I'm a load of fun. I ain't Jim Malcolm fun. You can find out. So here we are. What are we missing? We're missing verse 4. But what does my NIV say? It has a footnote. It says verse 4 is not accepted in some manuscripts because they didn't find it till many years later. So they leave it out, but they have a footnote. It's like when Jesus heals the woman, forgives the woman caught in adultery. That's not in my book because it's not in some. And at the end of Mark with the snakes and all that stuff, some Bibles have it and some don't. But it's there. You see this big Bible right in front of us right here? This is not approved by the Methodists. This has got the Apocrypha in it. And we can look at it sometimes. There's nothing wrong with it. Ann found it, so we're going to keep it, right? Ann put it here. We're going to leave it. Works for me. It won't take away your faith. But here, verse 4. Back to verse 3. Here, a great number of disabled people came to lie under these colonnades by the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. For an angel went down at a certain time and stepped into the pool and stirred up the waters. Then whoever stepped in first, after stirring up the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. Boy, it's like a lottery, isn't it? Let's go down to the pool. Everyone's sitting around. You got these five colonnades, and there's the pool. This pool is 800 years old. It started as like when the water rushed down from the hills from that from the Kidron Valley, it flushed, and they put a little dam there 800 years before this time, and then they made a pool over it, and people say it didn't exist, but back in 1911, they dig it up, and they find the thing, and this thing is 43 feet deep. They call it the sheep pool because they thought they washed the sheep in it, but you don't wash the sheep in a 43-foot deep pool, right? They're going to go under, so that's just the gate where they brought the lambs in, probably for the temple, which is right behind it. But it's there near the church of what? St. Anne. Anne, you've been sainted. You know that. You're a saint here. By the church of St. Anne. So they've discovered this thing. It is there. It's not a fairy tale. It's an aquifer. So it would bubble up from time to time. And they believe the first one in. It's sort of a sad thing, isn't it? You've got all these blind and lame and everyone's sitting around. Who knows? You can't be just sitting by the pool. They're waiting, and then when the bubbles jump in. But this man, for 38 years, has been sitting. Someone carries him every day, puts him there. How's he going to get in? He can't walk. He sees the bubbles. He sees his hope, and he can't get in the pool. While Jesus was lying there, and he learned that he had been in this condition for a long time. Remember, this is the Sabbath. And he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. When I'm trying to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me." Jesus says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. And the day on which this took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry that mat." And they're right. That's what their law does say. It says in Jeremiah 17, "Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers." In those days, it says in Nehemiah 13, "In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves of wheat and loading donkeys with wine and grapes and figs and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into to Jerusalem on that Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling these provisions. Do no work," it says. It breaks the commandment. Is that 4 or 5? Anyone remember? It's one of those. I think it's the fifth one. Breaks the fifth commandment. You see, what's the rule? What's the punishment for breaking the Sabbath? It's pretty severe. It's death. You can be killed for carrying something on the Sabbath. That's the problem. So the man is talking to the Jewish leaders, and he's caught. What are you going to do? What do you do when you're caught? How do you get out of it? Well, you riot on the first person you can think of, right? That's what he does. It's a Sabbath day, and the law forbids you to carry it. But he replied, he said, "The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. I did it because he told me to." Forget the 38 years. There's a penalty. He's going to pay it. Who is this fellow who told you to pick up the mat and walk? This is the same story as in John chapter 9, isn't it? The man born blind. The man's born blind. He's sitting there for his whole life. And Jesus comes by and he heals him, right? He spits in the mud and he goes, go wash yourself in the pool. Wash your eyes and then the man can see. This should be a great thing, right? It happened on the Sabbath. He can see again. And guess what? He's thrown out of his church. His parents deny him. He loses a lot. He gains his sight. Then he figures out who Jesus is. We see this. The Sabbath is more important than the person. The man who healed me the man who was healed had no idea who it was who healed him. For Jesus had slipped away from the crowd. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and he said to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning, he says, or something worse may happen to you. Maybe sometimes we think when we're healed, we can go back to our old ways, right? I'm better now. And we see this in Romans 6. This is one of my favorite verses because it points a finger right at me. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. I sometimes have that feeling. God loves forgiving me, and I love sinning. And so therefore, we have a perfect relationship, right? It's like when I chew tobacco. Tobacco is very bad for you. It causes mouth cancer, so they say. But if you drink green tea, it counteracts the effect of mouth cancer. Anyone believe that? So here I am chewing in one hand, drinking green tea in the other, getting better. It's like when I ate a Chick-fil-A the other day. I got a milkshake and a Diet Coke, you know? And a couple extra dipping sauces, because they're quite generous over there. They'll give you all you want, you know? They'll just keep grabbing them. You're like, all right. That place is crazy busy. I saw Lynn Van Dyke there the other day. Did I tell you that already? I got to keep you all on my Chick-fil-A sightings. You're well again. Don't start sinning again. You can walk. He's carrying his mat. The man went away, and he told the Jewish leaders that was Jesus who made him well. He still got some advice from Jesus. Don't sin, but listen, there's a penalty. I'm copping a plea. I'm making a plea bargain with these people. I'll give up Jesus. He's the one that told me to do it. He's the one that healed me on the Sabbath, on the day of rest. He did it. He told me to carry my burden. So Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders decided they wanted to persecute him. And so in his defense, Jesus said to them, he says, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. He just made things worse for himself, didn't he? First of all, he's healing on the Sabbath with this punishable by death. And now he's saying, it's my Father who gave me this healing. My Father and I are one. He's now blasphemy. That too is worthy of death to them. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he's calling God his own Father. He says, my Father doesn't quit working. Even though it's a day of rest, the sun still comes up, right? The moon still shines. Fires burn. Snow falls. Babies are born and we bury our dead. All these things happen every day. These things, we are supposed to rest, but the world still turns around us, right? And you know what, folks? I watch the internet a lot, and I like the street preachers. I wouldn't do it. Because they suffer a lot of humiliation. There's one guy, his last name is Bowling. I forget his first name. Nope, can't remember it. And he sits on he's always at parade or at events, and he's always preaching that Jesus loves people, that we need to repent, change our sins. And people, when he says the word Jesus, people boo. You're booing Jesus? You're booing Jesus? What does he want for you? What does he offer? What is Jesus offering you that he's worth booing? He's going to heal you, show you eternal life, bring you in, show you festival joy, and they boo him. Booing Jesus. Jesus says to these Pharisees, these teachers of the law, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than this, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he has entrusted all judgment to his Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. I had to stop at that verse and look that one up. The Father judges no one, but he trusts the judgment to the Son. One thing we don't like talking about, when we come to church today, I'm going to tell you, Jesus loves you, God loves you, and yay, and hooray. And I don't want to make this seem like a pep rally, but there are things we do have to know, that there will be judgment. We will be judged by what we say and what we do. There will come a day, and we see that in Zechariah chapter 3, we will go. We see that in Job chapter 9, where Job prays for an advocate. When he gets to heaven, he wants someone there to represent him before God. We need this. There will be judgment, but our judgment depends on our reaction to Jesus. Do we accept him for who he is? Whoever does not honor the Son, Jesus says, does not honor the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me will have eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. It's just so simple. We make it this life complex and hard. What we do is so simple. Our cars are very confusing. I don't understand. I can't change the clock on it. It takes me 2 minutes, or like quite a long time. I have to go to the one that's shaped like a little house first. No one tells you this. You just sit there like an idiot pressing buttons until you can change that clock. It's very complex. Why so hard? I drove a Honda Accord for 3 years before I found the window wiper washer fluid button. I would get out and spray it with Windex, like some sort of, you had to pull it. Because all of them you push, right? Usually you push. This one, you pulled it to you. It's like, oh. It's so simple. Why do we make everything so complex? Jesus says, come to me. I'm going to let you think you got a lot of things on your mind, and I will take all of them because my burden is light. But forget about all these other things. Just come to me. What do we want more though? We want to be free of our sins. He says, come to me and I'll take off your dirty clothes. I'll wash you of your sins and I'll give you new things, new white robes, new clean clothes. I'm going to treat you like my bride. You remember that day when you were treated like a bride, dressed in white, the handsome groom standing there waiting, taking care of you. Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming, Jesus says, when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, he says, and those who have done what is evil will be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is right. For I seek not to please myself, but please him who sent me. Jesus is obedient to his Father. We don't like the word obedience. There's rules here. We like the love part. We like the free things, but we like the grace and the mercy. But we need to be obedient to him. What are his rules? What does he ask us? What does God require of us, folks? What did I tell you? What did Micah 6:8 say? To seek justice. Remember that part? Show loving kindness. Walk humbly with our God. Praying for justice. Show love. Be humble. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the sacred music. We thank you for your word, which is true. We thank you for those who came to hear this, the good news. We try to complicate it. Maybe us preachers try to complicate things to make it look like we're smarter than everyone else, but we certainly are not. We fall short. so short each and every day. But we read your word and we hear it together. And you simply say, follow me. You need your Sabbath. That is true. He gave it to you as a gift to you to enjoy. He also gives us himself to enjoy. Like a bride enjoys being with the groom. Like the festival that comes. Like knowing that our sins are forgiven, that there is mercy and there is compassion which we need. And there is healing. There is healing in heaven. And all the weights of this world will pass off our shoulders. Our pain will be gone. Our tears will be wiped away. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the amazing things that you show us each and every day. New mercies for us each and every morning. We thank you in the name of your Son. Amen.